Morning, a little bit more reading than I may normally do, but it's all good. Hebrews chapter 10, truly giving honor to God, giving honor to my wife, Pastor Marion, giving honor to all of you, our guests, amen. Fellow clergy in the house, truly God is good. Thank God for Jesus. Thank Him for sending His Son to die on Calvary's cross for us. And we're going to be reading in Hebrews 10, amen, verse 1. Speaking of the superiority of Christ over the sacrifice of animals and a new and better covenant through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Now, let me say this. We know that the law was a schoolmaster. It was a teacher. The shadow was a type of what was to come. It had an image, but it didn't have the substance that was behind it. For the law having a shadow was likened unto a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things. The verse says here, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect? For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For worshipers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. Every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Amen. It was not possible, even though they had it, the priest of that time, and they had sacrifice, it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats and all of those things could take away sin. But verse 5 says, therefore, when he came into the world, and this is Christ, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, speaking of God's desire, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. And that's a reference of Psalms, amen, chapter 40. Verse 8 says, repeating the same thing, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin ye did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, Christ said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through an offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So we see here, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ that he paid the sacrifice for our sins through one offering. God is saying in the Old Testament times that they would offer sacrifices, but it would never really solve the problem of sin. It was like trying to cover up dirt or cover up an issue, but the issue was always there. The sin was always there. And the sacrificing of animals didn't please God because people continued to sin. They continued to rebel against God. They continued, and they figured, well, I sin today, I can sacrifice tomorrow. I sin today, I can get more sacrifice tomorrow. But that didn't please God. What pleased God was obedience. And it wasn't so much the sacrifice, but it was the obedience. And God is calling us, amen, through his son Jesus Christ, amen, through and to obedience, amen, to obey him at every level, amen. We don't want to go through ritualistic things, amen, and just to do things religiously because they can be done. But we want to have a real meaningful life of relationship with Jesus Christ through a lifestyle of obedience, of submission, of obeying him at everything that he tells us to do. Amen? So it says here in verse 10 again, it says, by the will, we have been sanctified. Now here, sanctified, we know normally means being set apart. Amen. But here is speaking about our position through Christ, our positional a position through justification through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So positionally, we have been made right with God. Amen. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, every high priest and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice. So the Levitical priesthood, they would continue to stand. When they went in there, they didn't have seats. They didn't have benches. They didn't have chairs. Amen. They stood there, amen, time after time, over and over, doing the same thing, amen, for the sins of not only themselves, but for the people. Amen. But it says here, remember that word stands. Every priest stands, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice. Somebody said the same sacrifice. Which can never take away sins. Remember, all of this was a shadow. Amen. It was all leading and pointing to Jesus Christ. Amen. It says when we were reading that there were over 300 prophecies concerning the coming of Christ. Amen. How people can get that wrong, it drives me crazy that all throughout the scripture, amen, it speaks of Christ. Amen. The Old Testament, the New Testament, what it said, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Amen. Christ is in the scriptures from the very beginning. Amen. So it says here that every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, somebody say this man. But this man, Jesus, amen, after he had offered one sacrifice, somebody say one, for the sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's significant. Now, remember the picture here, the Levitical priesthood, they never sat down. They always stood, implying that their work was never finished. But here, Jesus, through one sacrifice, now, amen, with his work completed, he sat down. It's symbolic of the work is finished. When Jesus was on the cross and he said the Aramaic word, tastalisto, meaning it is finished, amen, it was finished. It's not no addendum, that's not no add-on, it's not we got to do this. But when he said it was done, it was finished, then it was completed, amen, that Jesus Christ, amen, paid the price in full. Not 60%, not 75%, but Jesus stood in our place. Amen. We should have been there, but he paid the price in full. Amen. That we would have fellowship back with God. Listen to this. And it says, verse 15, but the Holy Spirit, verse 14, for by one offering, I'm skipping down to it, from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now here, sanctified here is in its original normal context of what we understand is set apart or a continuing sanctification process that we are continually being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Whereas when we read earlier, amen, it was more so usage was positionally through a justification through the work of Jesus Christ. But here it said the ongoing sanctification, amen, as we continue to grow in God. Verse 15 says, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I told you it was a little bit of reading. I wanted to read this. Amen. Says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. He said, I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Isn't that something God said? I will remember no more. All the past sin, all the past failure, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been washed. I have been washed. Amen. Not covered up, but the slate has been scrubbed. And positionally, we have been made right in the eyesight of God through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank God for Jesus. Thank God that I'm saved. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away all of our sin. And we've got to understand, amen, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And one of the things that the devil tries to do, amen, is to keep us bound to our past mistakes, keep us bound to our past sin. But Jesus has cleansed us. He has washed us. He has forgiven us. Amen. We have repented. We have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And no matter what you might have done, amen, no matter how bad you were, amen, you are cleansed. You are washed. You have been bought with a price. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. All things are passed away. And guess what? Behold, all things are made new. And you're not in your righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. He called us. Amen. Even when we were in sin, he called us out of that. We weren't thinking about him. We weren't even thinking about Christ, but he loved us so much that even while we were in our sins, Christ came and he died for the ungodly. Even when we were rebelling against God, God thought of us all the way back then. Amen. He could have washed his hands of us, but because of his great love, amen, that he's demonstrated through his son, Jesus Christ, that you and I can stand here and truly say, free at last, free at last. Thank God we're free at last. Amen. We have been washed. We have been cleansed. Amen. God has renewed us. Amen. I might look like the person that you knew back then, but there's something that took place. There's a change. There's a metamorphosis. There's something that has happened on the inside. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been made new. I've got a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart of morals, a heart of character. I have been created in the image of God. To understand what that fully means at this time. Listen to this. And he says, I want to go to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, now, when you read what we just read, it kind of brings us into a greater context. Remember, context is everything. Amen. And we have to, when we read, we have to, you know, stay in context as much as possible because it really opens the scripture up. Therefore, brethren, having the boldness, or having the confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. So understanding what Christ did, understanding our condition, our sin condition, understanding that we were sick spiritually, but now understanding what was what the price that was paid, now understanding what Christ did, now we therefore can come with boldness or confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Not by our righteousness, not by my intelligence, not by my connections, not by my money, not by any of these things that the world can give me, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can go to the throne room of God, that we can go to the holiest of holies, amen, and we can be in the presence of God. That said, by a new and a living way, which he consecrated for us. He did away with the sacrifices of the bulls and the turtle doves and the pigeons and all that. But through one sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, amen, that we have been made right with God, that now we have access with God, and we with confidence and boldness can come into his presence, amen. And listen, amen, we can commune with God, amen. That veil of the temple, amen, was literally rent, amen, and rent through Jesus Christ, as we'll read further, amen. It says here, for he, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. With that, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart. See, you don't have to fear. Most people say, well, you know, I'm so ashamed and, you know, you don't know what I've done and my guilt. But listen, he said, don't run away from me, but come towards me. Don't feel that you have to hide. Don't let the devil make you think that you have to hide. God says, you can come to me. Amen. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and what cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't have to run from him, but we can run to him. And even as believers in Jesus Christ, even if you sin, even if you mess up, it's not a license to sin. It's not an excuse to sin. But if you should happen to stumble, through the grace of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can enter in boldly into the throne of his presence, the throne of grace, amen, and find help and grace in the time of need. So there's no excuse for us to run away from him, but we need to run towards him, amen, because he has everything we need, amen, forgiveness, healing, restoration, peace, amen, whatever you need from God, amen, it's right there in his presence. So why would you run away from his presence when you have all of the benefits, when you have all of the healing, when you have all the things that you need is in the presence of God? So it says here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Remember, this full assurance is through the blood of Christ, not through the assurance of our flesh, but through what Jesus, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. He sat down and is seated at the right hand of God. But guess what? He works, but he works through, amen, the finished work that he did on the cross, making intercession for the saints. Amen. It all flows through what he did on Calvary. It all flows through what he did on Golgotha's hill. Amen. So now, amen, we can go boldly into his presence. Listen to this. It says here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Amen. One thing about the Holy Spirit, amen, it's a redemptive, restorative work. It's a process of inner sanctification and healing and cleansing. So not only is he going to change us on the inside, amen, but even referring to the washing of our bodies, referring to baptisms and referring to repentance, and it refers that God is able, amen, to make all grace abound in our lives, and that God is able to heal us and cleanse us at every level of our being, body, soul, and spirit, that full trichotomy of man. God wants to deal with. He wants to heal our minds. He wants to heal our bodies. Amen. He wants your spirit, amen, to be reborn. Amen. God is concerned about the whole you. God is concerned about every part of you. Amen. God loves you. He loves all of you. Listen to this. And it says here, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Don't give up. Look to your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. You got to hold on to what God has given you. Amen. Because we know what the enemy's job is, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have that more abundantly. So you've got to hold on to everything that God has given you. It's just like a football player, a runner back, amen. He's running and he's holding the ball, amen. You've got to hold on to what God has given you, because you have enemy forces that want to tackle you and steal the ball. But you've got to say, you know what, I'm not letting go of what God has promised me. It belongs to me, and it's rightfully yours. And guess what? It can't leave unless you give it up anyway. Because what God has for you is for you. Amen? So we can't worry about with the devil, but we've got to walk in faith. Amen? Hold on to our profession of faith. Amen? Of our hope. And without wavering, amen. So it says, for he who promised is faithful. God is saying, listen, I'm going to be faithful in your life. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God is faithful, and God is going to perform the work. And if God takes us on as a project, as an assignment, if God is with us in the beginning, he's not going to leave us in the middle of the race. Amen. He's going to be with us throughout the whole process. So we don't have to be fearing and looking over our shoulder and say, God, are you with me? God, are you going to leave me? God, you're quiet. I don't hear you. Have you forgotten? God has promised in his word. He says, I will be with you until the ends of all time. You can rest assurance, amen, that God is on the side of the righteous. And if God is on the side of the righteous, amen, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to second guess God, yourself, or anything, but just simply rest on what God has said, that he is faithful. Because sometimes, let's tell the truth, sometimes we mess up. We're not faithful. Let's tell the truth. Amen. But he is faithful. Amen. Sometimes we say we're going to do one thing and we end up doing something else. But God is faithful. If God says he's going to do it, amen, then he's going to do it. He's not like man, amen. Sometimes, amen, even with the best intentions, we mess up. But God, amen, those things, amen, that God speaks concerning your life, amen, his word will not return void, but will accomplish everything that God has said concerning your life, amen. Everything that God has spoken over your life, every good thing that God has promised you, though the vision tarry, wait for it shall surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Amen. So even though it seems like it hasn't shown up, but remember the promises of God. Remember the faithfulness of God. Remember the unchangeable hand of God. Remember God is the same yesterday as he is today and tomorrow. God doesn't change. Amen. So I can take that to the bank. I can take that to the courthouse. I can take that to my doctor. I can take that to my lawyer. I can take that to my family, my children, my loved ones, and rest on the promises of God, because God has shown up too many times in my life. God has shown up too many times in your life, and you've seen the hand of God. When others say no, God said yes. When they say there's no healing, God says be healed. When they say you can't get that house where you're living now, when they say you couldn't get that car what you're driving now, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to his power that's on the inside of me. Do we really understand what took place at Calvary? Do we really understand the power that's available to the believer? Do you really understand what it means to walk in faith and walk in power? Amen. When you're walking in faith, you're saying, God, I trust you. You're saying, God, I believe your word. And God, guess what? I trust you. No matter what others may say, no matter what others may do, no matter what circumstances may try to dictate to me, but God, I believe your word, for I've learned to walk by faith and not by sight. I've learned to trust you as a child trusts his mother, as a child trusts his father. I've learned to trust you even though I can't see with my natural eye, but I don't move by what I see in the natural. I don't move by what I hear in the natural. I'm only moved by the faith of the Son of God, that knowing that if God is on my side, I'm going to come out of this. If God is on my side, I'm getting up from this pit. If God is on my side, I'm getting up from this sickness. If God be on my side, I'm coming back from this financial collapse. If God is on my side, I know he's going to raise me up. And even though you may stone me, and even though you may cast me aside, and even though I might have gone through shipwrecks, and even though I might have gone through heartache, and all sorts of things that we can all go through, know this, God said it ain't over until I say it's over. So we've got to be like Apostle Paul. Even the time when he was stoned at Lystra, he was left for dead, bleeding, head wounds. And remember, the head is a very vascular part of your body. He was probably in a pool of blood. And they probably, the only reason they left him, because they figured he was dead. They wasn't throwing stones. They were throwing rocks and boulder size. They was trying to kill a man. And in their minds, they probably thought they had completed their assignment. But here's the grace of God. And this is just me. It's possible. And the Bible doesn't say amen. But it doesn't matter, because his work wasn't done. He could have been knocked unconscious and he could have died, but it doesn't matter because God said, Paul, get up. They might have thrown a rock so big, he might have ruptured his brain and he might have been bleeding on the inside. He should have had a stroke. He should have been able to talk. He should have been able to see. He should have been able to know where he was at, but it didn't matter because God said, get up. You got to be a witness. You got to go to the hedges and the highways. You got to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what am I saying? I'm saying to you, no matter what you go through, no matter what storms, through canings, through stonings, through persecutions, through false accusations, whatever it is that you've endured, I want you to get up in the name of Jesus and brush off the rocks, brush off the dust, wipe the blood, and reacquire your target and get back on the road that God told you to travel. Whatever it is, the last order that you got, that's the order that you finish. He said, get up and be a witness. Get up and preach my word. Get up and lay hands on the sick. Get up and cast out devils. Get up and speak life. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care if the religious community don't like you. I don't care if church folk look at you funny. It doesn't matter. It all matters what God says. It only matters what God says. Your next door neighbor may think you're crazy. That's all right. Your boss may think you had a problem, but that's all right. But as long as I know that God is with me, he is the one who saved me. He is the one that cleansed me. He is the one that washed me. He is the one that filled me with this spirit. He is the one that keeps me and protects me. And he is the one that gives his angels charge over me. So if God, hallelujah, is on my side, who do I have to fear? Whom do I fear? You don't have to fear no one, no man, no demon, no principality, no power, because if God is on your side and if God says that you are in his hands, he said those that are in the Father's hands. Think about that. Almighty God, omnipotent God, El Elyon, the most powerful God, El Shaddai, the full-breasted one, the one who has that created the universe. He says, listen, if you are in my hand, I don't care what witch, what warlock, what demon, what lying person. I don't care who, what, when, where, how. It doesn't matter. If you are in the Father's hands, what does the Father's hand represent? Authority, power, rulership, dominion, protection. The armies of heaven are at his command. If you're in the Father's hands, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear the evil one because I'm protected in the house of my God. I'm surrounded by the angels of God. Aren't they not all his ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation? So I've got even backup walking with me. Not only is I'm in God's hand, but while I'm in God's hand, the angels are surrounding me. What am I saying here? We don't have to be fearful for anything. The devil walketh to and fro, and he's seeking whom can devour. But listen, we don't have to be afraid of him. All we need to do is make sure we're abiding in the Father's hands. Remember, Mama, Daddy said, listen, don't you come out the house after 6 o'clock. When it get dark, you get in the house. And even though we didn't understand it, we saw, man, our fun is interrupted. We can't hang out. Amen. The other kids, they staying out. Why can't we stay out? Because our parents, they understood most bad stuff happened. Amen. It's happening all the time now. But back when I grew up, most of the bad stuff happened at night. Amen. So they said, when it get dark, amen, you need to get in the house. When the lights come on, the street lights come on, that's your cue to get in the house. You need to drop what you're doing, and you need to run into the house. Well, Jesus is our house. He is our ark. He is our pavilion, our stronghold, our tower. And guess what? All around us, and I guess I said that correctly because it's not just at night, but spiritually, it is constant evil and wickedness going on all the time all around us. And the only way we can be protected is getting in the ark of safety or getting in the Father's house. And even when you think about the story of Noah, the Bible says, and how God shut the door. When you get in God's way, guess what? He will shut the door. Amen. He will, because sometimes, you know, you say, well, Lord, why did you have to shut the door back then? Because sometimes we, you know, being people, we see those people's, Lord, we want to let them in. God said, no, I'll do it. God is saying, I'm going to fight your battles. Be still and know that I'm God. Trust me. Even though Pharaoh is pursuing you, trust me. Even though Goliath is calling out all sorts of stuff, trust me. Even though the giants, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and even though they're saying all these things against you, trust me. I think about Joshua and Caleb, amen. They had another spirit, amen, because they trusted and they believed God. Even though all of the other spies came back with a negative report, Joshua and Caleb, they stood and they rested on what God said. He said, this is your land. And they said, what are we waiting for? Let us rise up and let us possess what God has already declared. But there were others who brought a wicked and evil report. Anything that is not of faith is of doubt and is of sin. Amen. Listen, surround yourself, thank you, Holy Ghost, with people of faith. Don't allow yourself to speak doubt to you. You speak the words of life to your own situation. Even though it looks bad right now, look in the mirror and say, you shall live and not die. You're rising up from this. God has got his hands on your life. I don't care, even if you got to prophesy to yourself. You've got to say, you know what? I might have been bruised and I might be wiping the blood, but I still got a pulse, baby. I'm still breathing. I still got life in my body. I know what my name is. And guess what? I'm getting ready to go out the next day and finish this next day. Amen. So you and I have got to speak life, speak the word of God, have faith, and don't doubt God. If God is going to do it in your life, you got to. God is going to do it in your life. You got to believe him and take him at his word. Amen. Amen. Finally, it says here, verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It didn't say let us stir up strife and ill will. It didn't say let us stir up gossip. We're good at that stuff. It didn't say let us stir up animosity and jealousy. It didn't say let us stir up rumors of fighting. It didn't say that. It said let us stir up love. Now, to the credit of the saints, amen, the ingredient is there. Love is there because if you're in Christ, if you're in God, God is love and God is in you, then love is there. But what he's saying here, you know what? You need to stir it up. You need to get that flesh out of the mixture. Amen. You need to stir up the good stuff. Put the other stuff to the side. Stir up love and good works. Listen to this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. We are here to strengthen one another. You say, well, I can stay home and I can get this on the TV. Yeah, you could. I can get a good word on the radio. Yes, you can. But there's nothing that's going to replace a hug from your brother and sister. There's nothing that's going to replace a nice warm handshake. Say, good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. You look good today. Be encouraged. Oh, good to see you. There, you can't get that off of TV. You can't get that off the radio. We are designed, amen, to have communion with one another, amen, to interact with one another. And one thing about, amen, church sometimes, and we've all been there, you miss one service, you miss two services. Have you noticed it gets easier and easier and easier to miss other services? It just happens, amen. So we've got to guard against those things that try to rob us of that fellowship. A lot of times we come to church and say, well, you know, they can't do nothing for me. You got it all wrong. Maybe we need you. you know, what can they do for me? Maybe there are brothers and sisters. Maybe there are babes. Maybe there are people that are going through things who need to hear your testimony, who need to see you and need to see your faith and need to see your steadfastness and need to hear your words. We got this thing all messed up. That's why the Bible says we are interconnected. We are the body of Christ. We are all important. And all of us have meaningful purpose, whether it's the toe on your foot, whether it's the pinky on your hand, or whether it's the one hair of eyelash that's in your eye. Bro, it serves a purpose. And all of the body is important. Well, so naturally, so is it spiritually, that we are all interconnected. You've heard the saying, we are only strong as the weakest link. You can have the most powerful chain, amen. You think about a ship's chain, amen. But with all of that massive thousands of tonnage of chain, if one link is weak or broken, it jeopardizes the fellowship of that whole chain. There is no continuity, and where there is no continuity, there is no strength. If you break an electric circuit, I don't care how great the computer, the circuitry, or the electrical work is, if you break the continuity of the circuit or you short circuit it, it renders the whole thing inoperative. It could be worth millions of dollars, but if one fuse is out, it breaks the flow. That's why the Bible says we are our brother's keeper. Pray ye one for another. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Intercede one for another. Because when you are weak, I'm weak. When you are strong, I'm strong. When you're hurting, I'm hurting. But you know what? I'm going to pray and strengthen. Amen. When somebody's going through something, don't agree with the negative. Say, you know what? Encourage them. Yes, it happened. But guess what? You're coming out of this. Be encouraged. It's going to get better. It's just a storm. It's just a test. Hang in there. We don't need you to get down and say, yeah, it looked bad. You're going to die. But you got 6 weeks? Yeah. You want to sell your car? You want to sell your house? You know what? That's a shame. No, we don't need that. I need people and men and women of faith to say, Pastor, be encouraged. Pastor, God is able. Sister Rose, you need people in your life to say, you know what? It's going to be all right. You already know the negative stuff. I don't need nobody to come and preach my funeral. I'm not ready to die. I want to live. I love life. Amen? And guess what? I don't care how young or how old, you can't go until your work is done. You got people living 120 years old and in their right mind, moving around. You know what? God knows. So we all got to stay focused and be encouraged. Amen? So real quick, turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It says, seeing then, understanding then, getting the picture and understanding the significance then of who Christ is, understanding what was done on Calvary's cross, understanding he is as a great high priest. It says here, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Who is this high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. So we have a great, not just a priest, but a high priest. And not just a high priest, but a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. So for him to pass through the heavens, he had to be on earth. So it just lets us know that, amen, he understood, as the Bible tells us later, everything that we ever have gone through in this flesh, he suffered. And dealt with many of the things that we deal with in this body, in this life, on this planet. Who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now that we know that, now that we know that all he endured, all that he endured on the cross, and everything. It says, then let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize, somebody say sympathize, with our weaknesses. In other words, we have a priest, a great high priest, who understands human frailty, who understands what it means to be discouraged, who understands that we are just but dust. Amen? Who understands that things happen in life. He understands. So anything that we go through in life, amen, God is not alien to it. He understands all of it. So it says, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted or tested as we are, yet without sin. So he's letting us know, listen, everything that you could ever say you're going through, he sympathizes and he understands. Amen. If you had to have somebody who was going to legally represent you or who was going to fight your case or cause, you would want that person to understand you and know you and be able to relate to you. Well, Jesus said, I relate to you. I came in the human form, in human flesh, subject to the frailties of the flesh, to tiredness, to hunger, to weakness, all of that. Jesus was a part of. He had that happen to him. But it says here, even with that, he was without sin. If there's anybody that can get a perfect score, that's the one I want to follow. If there's anybody that can score 100 points, amen, in one night, that's the guy I want to play with. Amen? Because he's proven that we can make it. Amen? He's proven that we can be successful and that we can achieve. It says, let us therefore, basically what we just read, come boldly to the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? Amen. That was made available through Jesus, amen, through the cross, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I don't care who you are, you will get into a place in your life where you will need help. You will need guidance. You will need comfort. And I'm here to let you know, even though we are here for one another, amen, and the Bible says there's safety in a multitude, or wise counsel in a multitude of people, amen. But know this, there are some times when only God can comfort you. To that extent, everyone standing. Understand that only God can heal you in certain situations. Knowing that God has a great plan for our lives, knowing that he loves us, that he cares about us, that he's provided everything that we need, we don't have an excuse. Everything we need to be victorious has already been provided through his son, Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I don't care what it looks like, you're an overcomer. You can do it. Look to your neighbor and say, you can do it. This trial is but for a season. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hardship comes to all of us. Bible says, man that is born of woman has few days, and out of the few days that we have, they're full of trouble. So trouble is going to show up, but that's not what we need to worry about. Amen? Amen. As long as Christ is on board, I can go through the storms. I can go through the trials. I can go through the tests. And through Christ, who is my strength, who is my life, who is my hope, who is my joy, who is my encourager, who is my counselor, who's my lawyer, my doctor. He is everything that I need. I can find everything I need through my great high priest who sitteth on the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for the saints of God. So I can go and cry out, Abba, Father. I need help. Don't raise your hand, but you have you ever been in a place where you say, God, I need you. God, I don't know what to do. God, it looks bad on paper, but God, I need you. God, I know that you're able to heal. I know what the doctor said. God, I need you. I know what the attorney said. It's not looking good, but God, I need you. I know they're about to lay me off, but God, I know that you're able. I know that you're able to change my situation. My kids are out of control. God, you're able. My marriage doesn't look good, Lord, but God, I give it to you. I know that you're able. My friend said, give up. My family said, give up. Saw a man on the street, didn't know me. He said, give up. But God, my trust is in you. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made both the heavens and the earth. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. I lay it at his feet. I cast it at his feet. And that's what God wants us to do. Whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with, cast it at his feet. Amen. The altar's open. Whatever your need, whatever your situation, I want you to come and give it to Jesus. Cast it at his feet. Come up to this altar. We're going to pray the prayer of faith with you, those that don't know the Lord. And if you just need encouragement, if you need direction, we want to touch and agree with you in prayer. We want to put our faith with your faith. We want to agree with you what God has already said. We're just simply waiting for it to come to pass. We're simply just waiting for the manifestation.